What is up, people of the Musicverse? Welcome back to the Anacreate Podcast. Today, I have a couple exciting announcements and news that I want to talk about. We have something that I've been thinking about a lot based on a video that I saw recently. A mix that I want to shout out and talk about for a second and basically nerd out about because it's awesome. It's going to be a good episode here. It's just me today. So let's just dive right into it because some of this news is my own news. So news and updates segment. First off, really, really exciting is Malcolm Cottle and I have launched the Mac Kit Trigger and One Shots Bundle, or One Shots and Trigger Bundle, however you put it. I think it's called One Shots and Trigger Bundle, technically, but it kept getting tossed around because it's one shot drum samples and trigger presets for those drum samples with multi-velocity and round robin samples in them. So really excited about that. It's been a bit of a soft launch, I will say. It's out there. You can buy it. You can pick it up now on my store, anacreates.ca. So go over there. You can check it out. We've been working on this for quite a while, and there will be more episodes purely about this actually coming up. I want to do one with Malcolm. We also have one that we recorded the day we did the actual drum samples for this. When we finished, we have kind of a wrap-up episode that I will put out at some point. It's like an older episode, but it hasn't come out yet because there's some stuff in there that we talk about that hasn't come to fruition yet that we're still working on. So this is the first thing. This is the soft launch of the Mac Kit One Shots and Trigger Bundle. The whole point was to kind of make drum samples that I wanted to use that were a little more on the natural side. You know, when you use a lot of the drum sampling programs or one shots, they're just so processed you can't really use them just kind of to make your digital drums sound real. They sound overprocessed right out of the gate. So I wanted something that you could manipulate a little bit more yourself, including room mics and overheads that you could mix in, even using room mics as samples on their own to add to anything else. All the time I'm looking for different ways to do that. And so I have a sample that I can mess up and mix differently into my mix alongside some other drum kit, but I get a good room that I like and can like distort and just make screw it up somehow. So that's what we want to do with this bundle, and it's Malcolm Cottle's signature kit that he uses. It's something that he's been using for a long time. It's a unique kind of a kit, so we're excited to be able to share it. It's got some different drums that we haven't seen really samples of before, so yeah, very excited for that. But that is a soft launch now. We're just working on some posts about it. Like, we've barely posted. This is actually the first kind of public thing I've put out about it, but we're working on some posts about it. We're not going to do a huge marketing campaign for this one because there's more in the works, and you being here listening to this know that now, which is, yeah, just a hint. There's some more in the works with this kit, and it's gonna get bigger. So go check that out if you want drum samples, if you're looking for kind of rock drum sounds that you can use to kind of liven up your kit a little bit. I think it's really, really cool. So that's a first bit of update news here for me. Next, we have just something I wanted to shout out because I'm a Pro Tools user, and that is Pro Tools just released their 2023.6 update, which has finally marker tracks, or tracks with markers. I'm just getting into using it, but you can add individual markers per track as well as main markers. They also updated the look of the markers and the colors and stuff like that, and I use dark mode on Pro Tools, and I think they look really cool. They're more like a neon look at the moment for me, and I just updated and let it sit, so I haven't actually played with it. But you can change the color schemes, and you can do some other stuff with it too. But finally, we have multiple marker tracks, which we wanted for a long time. And once again, I think Pro Tools did a really good job of it. I think Pro Tools did the Pro Tools thing with it, where when they finally come out with a feature, which everybody's been wanting for a long time and that other softwares have, they do it in a really good way. You know, they're late to the party. I really wish this was an earlier thing. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm not saying Pro Tools is the best thing ever and Avid is nailing it. But what I am saying is that when they come to with a feature, they do a pretty good job of implementing it. There isn't a feature that they implement that I'm like, man, why did you do it this way? Where when I use Logic or something, that is, there is definitely that. Or I'm like, does anybody that makes this software actually use make music? So yeah, Pro Tools did a really good job of the marker track. So if you haven't seen that yet, go check it out. I did download it. I did start playing with it. It's overall pretty stable for me. I have noticed some weird copy-paste things that are popping up, so I hope they fix that. And they still haven't fixed the Elastic Audio bug. There's a, when you use the new Elastic Pro Elastic Audio thing, there's this bug, and it slowly gets out of time. It's a really weird bug, so be aware of that. But overall, it sounds amazing, so it's worth the hassle at the moment, but I really, really wish they fixed that in this update, since they've had about 3 months since the original. I wish they'd put out more periodic updates with just bug fixes. Like, seriously, you don't need to wait so long. But anyway, that's Pro Tools. That's the Pro Tools news. Next, I wanted to shout out two releases that happened recently within the last couple weeks that are just friends of mine. I actually didn't work on either one of these, basically, but I think they're awesome. So first off, we have my friend Ethan Mack just came out with his latest music video, Light Switch. And I went to the Light Switch release party, and it was awesome. And that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago or something like that. And then finally, last week, the actual video came out for everybody. So I will link that in the description below. It's awesome. You should check it out. It's like a mini short film for a music video. It's really, really well done. The attention to detail is amazing. Shot so cinematically. Really, really well done. Congratulations to Ethan for another amazing release. If you have questions for me that you want me to ask Ethan, you should tweet me them or leave a comment on the video or something, because may or may not be having him come on the show. Just saying, you know, and we've got a lot of stuff in the works, me and Ethan. So keep an eye out for that. But anyway, Ethan Mack, Light Switch. It's awesome. Really, really well done. And the party was amazing. So congrats, Ethan, on that. Next is Fremont Pike. Came out with their new single, Dead President Park, which is the second single off of their EP2, I think it's called. It's awesome. It's really good. I did do some mix consulting on this. So kind of giving my feedback on the mix. I do that for people. You can find that on my website if you'd like that as well. And it turned out really well. Malcolm did mix it and produce it and all that jazz, and he did a great job. Sounds awesome. Really, really well done, guys. And also their first single, if you haven't seen that, Detroit Girl, the video's out. I'll link that down below too, because it's awesome. I haven't shouted them out, but I am working with them. We kind of hinted at that. I'm working with them on some new stuff, so you're going to see more of that soon. Keep an eye out. They've got some great stuff in the works right now. Next, I want to talk about something that I recently watched a video, and I think it just got me thinking, honestly, about my production style, the way that I work. And I was recently in the studio with Fremont Pike, and we were working on some writing stuff. And I've done this with a few different artists. I did this with Malcolm on a project we're doing for him as well. And that we kind of have the demos, and then I pull them apart. But also this happens in full production. And that is the fact that I feel like I'm basically always sampling myself. And I'm using samples of my stuff or what's in the session to produce something. And so what I mean by this, and what triggered this, was I watched a video from Bad Snacks. She's a, I don't know what kind of music you'd call it, electronic pop music kind of stuff. She does lo-fi stuff as well, I think. Anyway, she's great. She's really awesome. I love her stuff. I don't know her. I just think she's awesome. And she puts out these videos. She has a YouTube channel, which is awesome. You kind of see the behind the scenes of her producing stuff, and it's great. She did a video recently, and she went to Spotify Studios in LA, I believe, and did this session with them. She was doing two songs with Spotify singles, so she's doing one cover and one original. And anyway, it was really cool, very cool video. But it got me thinking, because what they did is she had this guy help her out and score this cool string thing, and then they recorded that and used that in the production, messed it up and all this kind of stuff, which was awesome. And then they made samples of different keyboards and things that she could chop up and use. Now, this is nothing new. This is really cool. And one of the things she said was, I wanted to make my own samples to do the song, to make the song. So she would record this string thing and then chop it up and mess it up and use it to create the song. So to actually chop samples out of that for her kind of thing, because that's the style of music she does. Now, I don't use that kind of sample, I wouldn't say, but it did get me thinking in the fact that when I'm producing stuff, I feel like I'm sampling myself in the way that I chop stuff up out of the session using chords I have, messing with what I have to create new things. So when I was in the studio recently with Fremont, we had some, like, their demos. But instead of just going, okay, this is what I want, now go play it again. We had all the guitars set up, we had the bass set up, we had the e-drums, we had all that stuff. But instead of just getting them to play it again, I would literally play with it. I would add MIDI stuff, sure, but I would play with the audio, chop up, where can I get this chord? What chord is this? Where is that in the song? Find it somewhere else. What's the pattern that it has? What's a pattern I want? Can I make it out of what I have in the session? And I would take things, and then if it's like, well, that's not working, let me manipulate it. Let me screw it up. Let me distort it. Let me add delays. Let me add effects. Let me do something with it. Let me reverse it. Let me whatever. And I find that to be a really interesting creative way to create. Instead of just pick up the guitar and replay it, I want to play with the audio that I have and manipulate the audio that I have before I try to add more stuff to it, or a combination of the two as well. But what I find when I'm doing this, and I think this is something that people should try, write a song, do the kind of what you would do and write it and record the kind of the main stuff, and then say, I'm not going to add anything else to it. I'm just going to use what I have in the session to create something different. And that could be creating a whole new section. That could be creating a B section to a verse or a chorus. That could be creating a bridge. That could be making transitions. I think it's a cool creative challenge because you are within the constraints of what you already have and manipulating what you already have. One, you get faster at using the tools you have to create something different, using the effects, using pictures, whatever the thing is that you're trying to do to pitch and change and use the audio you have. But I also think that it gives you a sense of direction, or it gives you a direction to go because you're constrained by what you have. I've talked about this a lot in the past, where challenges and restraints really help you create in a different way. And I wholeheartedly believe this, where if you have endless possibilities, if you have all of the things at your disposal, you kind of get this state of, I don't know what to do because I have so many possibilities. Choice paralysis is what it's called, I believe, where you don't know what to do. But if you don't have endless options and you have this kind of constraint put on yourself, albeit arbitrary, so you can break it if you're like, oh, but that would be so cool if it just did this, but I literally can't make it. That's fine. Go for it. But you get to that place by trying things with the things you have. The way that we did it with Fremont is I kind of played with the song and I screwed it up and I changed the chord progression, whatever. And then I would be like, oh, it has to go here. This chord has to change here, but I don't have that chord. When I pitch it up, it sounds weird. I've pitched other ones, whatever. Then I'll get them to play it again and go, okay, now that we've crafted this and I've used MIDI and I've used whatever else that I need to make this, now let's play it so it actually sounds good. It's not this pitch shifted shit everywhere. I don't say use this as the final production method, although I do use this in like final mixing as well. I like to manipulate the audio that I have, but in writing, it's really cool to use the sounds that you have, use the audio you have, and manipulate that as a starting point and a direction to kind of restrain yourself and not give yourself too many options while still allowing yourself to have options and get creative with what you have. So I just thought that was really interesting because the way that she was producing Bad Snacks in her video was, she said, I wanted to sample myself, or I wanted to sample my things. And I thought that was really cool. And it made me think that, you know, I actually kind of produce that way as well. So I'm curious to know if anybody else does that. I grew up in that world when I was working with a producer a lot who I engineered for a ton. He did that a ton, where it would always be trying to manipulate what we had. We'd record full guitars and then get them edited and then mess with stuff. Not necessarily because that was the way that he wanted to do it, but he would just always try and push things with what we had. And that kind of got into my way of producing as well. Just, I love playing with what I have and pushing the limits of what I have in the session already before I add more stuff or as I add more stuff. So I think that's really cool. Let me know what you do as well. Are you purely, if I want have a new idea, I record it, or do I manipulate the audio that I have? I honestly think either way is fine. I have no problems with either way, but I'm just curious, what do you guys do and how does that factor in? Do you think about that, or is that even something you've thought about before? You know? So that was my kind of main thought of the week when I watched that video. Great video. I will link it below. Bad Snacks is awesome, so go check that out. Next, I want to talk about the mix of the week. And this is a segment I want to bring into the podcast, honestly, because I love nerding out about mixes. I love nerding out about new music. And yeah, I want to do that. So sometimes it'll be one mix, sometimes it might be a couple. But this week, it is one. And that is also, by the way, it's called Mix of the Week, or that's the name of the segment so far. But it's just productions. It's just cool songs. It's not necessarily all mixing. But anyway, the release that I'm stoked for this week is Amen by Bring Me the Horizon. And this brings in a much bigger discussion. For me, they have a next level bit of creativity and also willingness to try stuff. And what I mean by that is they used to be a deathcore band or something like that. And sure, I'll get corrected about that. But they had very different sound than they do now. And every record they put out has a very different, unique sound, and they push the limits. And what I mean by this is the previous song they had came out, and it was like this pop punk kind of a thing. Sounded a lot like My Chemical Romance is what I heard a lot of people comparing it to. And that was Lost, which was a great track as well. With it had like death, or not deathcore, but metal. It had metal in the bridge. It had a breakdown. It had like chopped up digital glitchy stuff, all this kind of thing with this very poppy-esque structure and sound. Then they come out with this one, and it's just pure energized chaos. Controlled chaos, I guess you could say, throughout the whole song. And in the last chorus alone, it goes from like double kick death metal growls to a pop punk beat, then back to this punchy poppy chorus. And it's so cool. And they have a rapper featured on it, and I think a hardcore band. Anyway, something, it's nuts. They managed to mix so many different genres in there, and they do this a lot with their music. If you don't know Bring Me the Horizon, they seem to be doing this, and they do it so well, which is just the coolest thing to see. They can mix different genres, and the genre almost changes per line sometimes, where like one vocal is this and the next vocal line is this, and it's totally different, or he like switches mid-thing and it's like this singy thing, and then he goes into this growl and you're like, what the heck is even happening? Well, the music is doing something totally next field, like the left field. It's wild. In one part, they have a choir for half a bar or a beat come in. That's it. That's the only part you hear it. And it's like, what? Where'd that come from? And it's awesome. It works. The way they craft it is just so well done that it doesn't seem weird. It just works. And you're like, well, yeah, that should have gone there. That does work. That is exactly how the transition should work. So I thought it was really cool. The mix is really good. I believe Zach Cervini produced it and mixed it along with Bring Me, Ollie and Jordan. So just really, really good. I'm really excited for the new record. So I'm sure we're going to be nerding out about the new record here on the podcast some more. But yeah, I'm excited to see what comes, and I just wanted to bring that one up. If you like heavier music, it is heavy. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of aggressive vocals on there, but yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really, really inspiring. So that is the mix of the week this week. Amen by Bring Me the Horizon. Go check it out. If you haven't checked out Lost as well, go check out that as well, their previous song. Also a dope mix. All right, I think that is it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions, you can submit them. I do have a Q&A segment I didn't do this week, but that I am going to be adding in, or that I'm going to be doing more of as well. So let me know your questions, what you want to know about creativity, production, engineering, mixing, all that kind of stuff, along with any, frankly, you can ask me about life, I don't care. The creative life, frankly, is what I like to talk about. So, all right, that is it for this week, and we'll see you in the next episode. Until then, always be creating.